Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, everybody? This is Brother Carson, your host for Mad Dash Radio here on blogtalkradio.com. We started a topic last week about parenting coaching and how to go about, as far as discipline-wise, how to go about that, how to be parents, you know, how to go about coaching one of the parents and how, if it's a good idea. Before we get into that, I just want to talk about what we're going to do to next week. We're going to have a vigil on the 8th, Friday, for a young guy, Christopher, who was murdered not too long ago for the family. They didn't get a chance to go to the first one. They weren't invited. So we're just going to have another one for the family. If you know that young man, you know, make sure that you attend and pray with us and work it out with us. Also got our call on the line already. Gil, is this you, sir?
Yes, this is me. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing great. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm just coming back from the hospital.
Oh yeah,
everything is all right. I'm in good health. Thank God.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. All right, so what's our topic today?
Well, this is part two of parenting coaching. Before we get into the topic, I was actually was announcing some things that was coming up. Was also finna bring up that you guys might catch the Mad Dads on the Metro route, catch them on the bus, riding the bus every week now. What days you guys go on the buses now, Gil?
We're on the buses now from Monday through Fridays, from 3
Monday
to 8.
Monday through Friday.
Yes, 3 to 8.
So make sure if you guys see the Mad Dads on your bus, give them a shout. You know, talk to him, sign up with us, get involved. You know, if you need any resources, even if you're a young parent and, you know, you need any resources, please make sure that you sign up with us because one thing about us, we love to help out. Again, I mentioned the visual for the young man Friday. I have a quote here from a good friend of mine that I've been actually pushing him to write a book. His name is Ken Wade, and one day I'm going to definitely have Mr. Wade on the show. But this is his quote that he had for today. The first mistake is a warning. The second mistake is a lesson. But repeating that mistake is a statement that you are content with failure. I think that's a brilliant, brilliant statement right there. What do you think, Gil?
I think that's what our kids are facing today, every day.
Yeah.
You know? Is that they've resigned themselves, you know what I'm saying? They've come to a conclusion that failure is an answer, you know? And
right.
What I mean by calling, like, saying that failure is an answer is because, like, once they step out on their own misguided assumptions that things are going to go the way they somehow just dream of they're going to go, you know what I'm saying? And we know as adults that difficulties and disparity and rejection are always a part of success if properly channeled, you know what I'm saying? But these kids have started seeing failure as a means of justifying them staying stuck the way they're staying stuck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I think
that's a correct analogy from that statement.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, Ken Wade is actually, I think, about 2 years older than I am, you know. So this is another young guy that, you know, definitely has the right vision, you know, as far as being a young person. Because, come on. I mean, who said that you have to be young and stupid? You know what I mean? So, you know, young people, we are encouraging you to, you know, to do the right thing. Go ahead, sir. You was going to say something?
Oh, you got somebody else on the line?
No. I was talking to you. You was trying to say something?
Oh, no, I wasn't going to say anything else. But, you know, to piggyback on what you had just said, that you're right. We're encouraging these young kids, you know what I'm saying, to just evaluate the information that they've been receiving.
Yeah.
know, because we know that we have, you know, misunderstood instances in our lives, especially in our kids' lives. Like kids go to school and stuff, saying with preconceived notions that things are going to let them materialize the way they visualize. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand that once you get a vision, then you have to lay up here and analyze that vision as to how it's going to lay up here and formulate in your life. You know what I'm saying? You have to obtain the education in order to get the information that you need to exceed well or excel at whatever you choose to do with your life. You know?
Right.
See, these kids are making these assumptions that just because you can think it, that you can achieve it. You know what I'm saying? And that's true. As long as you lay up here and you build that process. But once you learn, you got to stay within the process. And right now, that process is education. Education is going to lay up here and open up those doors that you need. Even if you're a rapper, you got to learn how to spell. You got to learn about the dictionary.
Right.
You got to learn what these words mean in order to lay up here and formulate a sentence. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
definitely.
You know, my whole emphasis with these kids is that, hey, man, we're not here to let them prevent you from doing anything. We're here to encourage you to do whatever it is that you think that you want to be in this world and stuff, saying, as long as it's positive and it's productive. You know what I'm saying? But we're also saying that what you need is the education. You got to get it.
Exactly. And this is why coaching for the parents on how to be parents and stuff, this is essential, especially if you need help. If you definitely need help, if you definitely want that extra help, rather, you know, to go to the right way of going about parenting or being a parent, because there's a lot of people who are first-time parents and they need help, you know, and it's nice to know that there's resources out there. So I'm going to have a lady, her name is Stephanie. She's going to give us a call. She's from the Laughing Parent Organization, and she's going to explain her role with the parenting and parenting coaching and things like that. And if you listen to the show today and you want Stephanie's information, we're going to make sure that Stephanie is going to give us her information here, and you can just call in the call-in number if you're listening right now at 1-347-215-9262. Of course, you can see it online if you are on computer. If you are on by mobile and can't see the call-in number, again, the number is 1-347-215-9262. We're also going to have Jack Strotter give us a call. Jack Strotter is he's a counselor for parents. He teaches a parenting class every Thursday and every Tuesday night here at the Urban Ventures, which is located 3041 4th Avenue, South Minneapolis. We're going to get into another caller. Caller, this is Mad Dash Radio. Who is this?
Hi, this is Stephanie from Latin Parent Coaching Services.
How's it going, Stephanie?
I'm doing great. How are you? I was just listening in to some of the conversations you had with the last caller.
Yep, definitely. And we were just talking. Yep.
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying we were just talking about you.
Absolutely. You know, I got to thinking about the encouragement word that your last caller was talking about and how it's important to kind of encourage these kids to kind of get the self-esteem and what they need to kind of complete things in school. And I do agree with you in that it kind of starts with the parents at home. And, you know, I like that you had brought in young parents, but, you know, even as an older parent, sometimes you just don't really know exactly why your child is doing what they do. And while we can encourage a child to go to school, you know, you can kind of lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, right?
Right.
So I think you're right. And it starts with the parents, but, you know, if you've got some behaviors that you're not sure of how to deal with, it can be very frustrating. And oftentimes I think that's when a parent just gives up because they're not sure what to do. And that's kind of where, you know, a parent coach can come in and learn some new techniques and some ways in which you can start getting your child motivated and feeling successful again, which is what they need in order to go to school and do what it is that they want to do.
Absolutely. And I just want the audience that's out there listening, I just want you to explain the company that you work with and what do you do with that company.
Well, my company, the majority of clients that I work with are parents who have tried or feel like they have tried everything to change their child's behavior, and they might have started to get phone calls from school or daycare providers or just have tried everything that they can. Traditional methods of discipline just do not work for some children, and so it's mm-hmm. those techniques that kind of need to be tweaked for parents who are feeling frustrated and at the end of their rope and just feel like they don't have any more options, and they do have options.
Right, right, definitely, so and it's great to know. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
It's great to know that that we have options like your services here. What are some of the things that you do for your program?
Well, what I do is I do a lot of teaching, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I like to give workshops for parents for them to just get a little bit of taste and a little bit of hope and feel like there's some hope out there for them and that they're not alone. Of course, that's always first and foremost. But, you know, predominantly I work one-on-one with the parents and kind of sit down and talk about what techniques have they not tried. And I predominantly work with the Nurtured Heart approach, which is something that just transforms the difficult, the intense, the challenging children into kids that really succeed. And it's those children that I think are getting kind of falling behind at school and just being, you know, people end up just giving up on them, and there's no need for that.
Definitely. Definitely, and that's one thing that we have that's unfortunately that's trending a lot when it comes to some communities that are, you know, a lot of times parents like to give up. And, you know, they like to, you know, and what I mean by give up, I mean, you know, not stop loving, but just stop trying to be a parent. Some parents even go as far as trying to be a child's friend, which is okay, as long as you are being a parent, is what I like to stress a lot. What are some of the things you noted happens a lot with the clients that come to you?
Well, I think when they come to me, they're feeling like they don't know what else to do. And, you know, the one thing these parents is that they – and I guess I don't want to. I don't want anyone to think that they have given up, because when they do come to me, they just have tried everything else, and they're very loving. And it just is that with some children, those techniques just do not work. And so, but our model, our current parenting model, is definitely kind of a punish and discipline and a blame cycle, and it just doesn't necessarily work for some kids. They just don't respond well to that. In fact, it makes it worse. And so when I sit down with parents, we really need to kind of – it does start predominantly with parents deciding that they're going to make a choice in the way that they discipline. And, you know, it's a process. It's a good – it's a good week, 4, 5, 6 week process, depending on the child and the parents. And it's really about the parents taking that initiative, though, to decide that they're going to try something new. And most of them are very responsive. That's why they call me.
Right. I've noticed you mentioned the discipline part. When it comes to that, what would you recommend to be the most effective, or what effects or what techniques do you know prove to be the most effective when it comes to disciplining a child?
Well, you know, that's really an interesting topic, because we're wondering why, when we punish our children, why punishment doesn't work. And it just doesn't. It often only makes it worse, and they feel a need to retaliate. And it's only a temporary stoppage of a behavior, but it doesn't teach them how to manage their feelings or anything like that. So I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, what it, when I work with the nurtured heart approach, it's really about figuring out the best way to not reinforce the behaviors that we don't want. And mm-hmm. I think we inadvertently, when we lecture or we yell or we, you know, give warnings, we are actually reinforcing the behaviors that we don't want. But, you know, mm-hmm. with traditional, with more even-tempered children, those things work well. I mean, I've got kids mm-hmm. at home where, you know, my oldest daughter responds well to that, but my son just doesn't. And it just depends on the mm-hmm. child. So first and
yeah.
foremost is getting to know your child.
mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I've noticed when I talk to most mothers, I have a youth program here at the Mad Dads, and when I
yeah.
talk to most mothers, a lot of times what they'll tell me as far as the discipline that goes, you know, if their child is acting up or anything, is that they will go after their weakness. And
sure.
I would, you know, I usually ask, well, what do you mean by that? Usually kids nowadays like to get online a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like to, you know, do a lot of text messaging or calling with the cell phone, stuff like that. So usually a lot of times parents would take those things away as a means to obtain. And the only way that you'll be able to get this back is if you start straightening up. I've noticed that
sure.
it worked for me when I was younger and I was acting up, you know, that and amongst other things. You know, other things like, you know, spankings and you know, when I got a little older, it stopped being spankings and called them whoopings. And, you
yep,
know,
yep.
but it was much more than that. As far as my parent goes, I would have the whooping first, but then I would also have the talk where it's more of a, do you understand why I had to do this? And you know what I mean? And it was more of a thing that it made me grow closer. To this day, I actually thank my mom for those days, you know, that she had to straighten me out with that because, you know, now we're more closer than ever. I'm actually going to get to another caller here. This is Mad Dads Radio. Caller, who's this?
Hi, this is Sharon Brooks.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going well, and I'm just tuning in, listening to you guys, and you're talking about some really important things. I just wanted to make the
uh-huh.
comment that after having raised
uh-huh.
two young black men, and it wasn't
mm-hmm.
easy, and it wasn't quite alone. They had fathers, but not in the house. And
yeah.
Even the father's presence outside of the house did make a difference, that the fathers were in their lives to stop them
right.
from making some mistakes that they had previously made in their own lives as young men. But I think it really starts probably at a preschool age that these kids need correction, and if we could
mm-hmm.
somehow lobby to add a social course to the curriculum at the school programs, that would help
mm-hmm.
our youth into growing, into knowing to say thank you and please, and those things that we teach at home, maybe it could be reinforced
yeah.
in the school systems at a young age.
Okay, definitely, and that makes total sense. Is there anything that that you've noticed recently that that will say that they are not teaching this in school? Because you would think that they would be.
I know that there's not a specific program for that the teachers
right.
and other adults around may try to enforce it, but there's not a specific social skill program in the school systems today, and I think it should be. Because what we learn at those young ages, we carry with us, whether we want to or not. We carry it with us, and it would be something for parents, single parents or married, would be able to say, hey, didn't you learn that in school? You know, you say please, you say thank you. You don't curse in front of your elders or even curse at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And other things, no stealing, just social skills. I think that's an element that's missing in our school system.
You know, that's amazing because I was actually, we had those classes when I was in, you know, elementary and you
mm-hmm.
know, classes like that. We had those classes. Stephanie, you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, I would absolutely agree. And I think that there's unfortunately some things that, you know, we're working with a school model that just, you know, sometimes they have to choose between
you know, teaching math and really teaching those social pieces. And you know, with some classroom sizes being 27 kids in a kindergarten class, you know, there just isn't a whole lot of time. And I think that depending on the teacher, it's kind of a conundrum. It's definitely one of those, you know, I wish it could be better, but how do we do that kinds of things? And I think that's where you can really empower parents, because I just don't think that, you know, once kids go to school, they change those behaviors. I mean, if they learn those things at school or from their daycare provider, whoever their primary caregiver is, they'll follow that through to school as well.
Right. Definitely. You know, I think we can definitely spend more time, like you mentioned, ma'am. I forgot your name already. What's your name now?
Sharon. I'm Sharon.
Sherry?
Sharon, yes.
Okay, Sharon. I'm sorry. I think definitely if, because just like Stephanie was saying, that typically there are those type of things where they have to decide on classes and then financial problems and stuff like that. But you know what? This is why we have to, you know, fight for things like this. You know what I mean? So we can have more than just math, reading, and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, for our elementary class, you know, counting and all that good stuff that's essential for learning, but as well as the social skills, you know, because I had it when I was, you know, going to elementary class. I remember to this day, you know, but there's actually a movie coming out that's talking about these type of things, and I believe it's called Waiting for Superman. And I believe that movie is going to be eye-opening, because it speaks about everything that we're talking about right now. And I would encourage every parent, every teacher. I'm actually going to take my youth group out. I'm going to explain the youth group in a minute. I'm actually going to take my youth group out to go see that movie, because I think I think it's important. I think if you're going to have some things to change, it takes sometimes a movie, or it takes sometimes a song or TV show or whatever to open some eyes, because let's face it, politicians are crooked, you know, and I'm not saying all of them are, but, you know, we're just being honest here, you know, a lot of times it's a money thing, you know what I mean? And also, to be totally honest again, oftentimes it's a money thing, and rather than not, if they care enough for the urban community, if they want to spend that amount of dollars. You know, it's kind of a hurtful type of deal, but it's also true. Gil, what do you feel about that?
Well, Alex, you know, I'm old school, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that, But what our host was our guest was saying about people, you know, having their own conceptions about how they discipline their children, you know,
right,
from the African American community and stuff. I'm saying, me being from this school, I'm being 56 years old. You know what I'm saying? I had my parents and stuff saying was from the deep South. You know what I'm saying? Rural area South, you know what I'm saying? They were not educated people and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So they learned how to lay up here and nourish and discipline their children and stuff on the run, you know what I'm saying? Taking different situations from their own mothers and fathers and stuff, and saying how they were disciplined and stuff, you know what I'm saying? And applying their rules and regulations and stuff and order discipline on us as their children. You know what I'm saying? So I come from that age where if you mess up, you get messed up. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and it was a severe whooping, ironing cords and stuff like that. So I understand what our guest is saying, that that if you bring that to a child in today's area and stuff, and saying that there were a rebellion occurs within that child, and that child becomes stagnated, his belief that if that's how you're going to treat me, this is how I'm going to act. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So I understand what she's saying, that, you know, that we have to rethink our methods of disciplining our children. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I
that's
also heard what our other caller called in and said, that she was a parent of three boys. You know what I'm saying? And I commend her. You know what I'm saying? I take my hat off and I give her a standing ovation. You know what I'm saying? That she was that responsible to live here and mother and parents and her kids. You know.
Right.
And I think that you know that it does start at home. You know what I'm saying? That those courtesies, yes sir, no sir, no ma'am, yes sir, those type of things and stuff, saying, have to be instilled in our children at an early age. Because you know, as a mad dad, and we know and working for the Metro Transit system and stuff. You know what I'm saying? That I see a lot of younger women coming on the bus with kids. You know what I'm saying? And their language, their demeanor, you know what I'm saying, the way they treat their children, and the way they, to their children and stuff, man, it's in such a derogatory manner, man, you know what I'm saying, that it calls a negative reaction from the child, you know what I'm saying, through the course of just misbehaving, hollering and screaming, you know what I'm saying, where the mother has to physically, you know, take hold of the child and make the child pay attention to what she's saying and stuff like that. I think, you know what I'm saying, what our guest is doing is something that's really needed in the community. You know what I'm saying? I think that the reason that the black community doesn't go to those type of parenting classes, man, is because, see, we're still, can't nobody tell me what to do about my child. You know what I'm saying?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Just to piggyback off of what Gil is saying, how about consequential teachings, too? These children seem to not fear the police, jail, death, none of that. I don't think they know the value of what it costs to have a funeral or what mourning really is or what being incarcerated really is. It's glamorized on TV. I think the consequential teaching would be helpful to the youth, too, at an early age.
Definitely. That sounds like one of those deals that, I remember when my grandfather passed, I was 7 years old. When he passed, we were very close to him. I didn't understand what death, you know what I mean? That was a complex situation for me. That was a complex, concept for me. So my mom, she came and she explained to me that he went on to the other side. He's gone here physically, but his spirit. After all that, I understood from that point on that, you know, my grandfather, I'm not going to be able to see him again, you know, for right now. You know, and that's one of those things that we definitely have to teach our children. You know, we have to teach them that a life is precious. It's definitely something that you want to honor a life. You know what I mean? You definitely want to have that life being honored. You have to value human beings. You know what I mean? And not look at them as cattle. Like Gil was saying, they're glorifying violence and, people are dying almost all the time because we have rap music and we have TV shows and stuff that's advertising to them that gangster lifestyles or dangerous lifestyles are, you know, the type of lifestyle you're supposed to be living. In reality, that's just, those are lies. And those are the only things that, you know, those are the things that are only perpetrated, you know, by the enemy, you know. So we like to understand that parents out there are teaching this. But you know what? Sometimes parents forget this, you know. And I'm not a parent myself, but I know that my mom, she told me that she was, she didn't even think to teach me this kind of stuff, you know, until my grandfather passed, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And so, from that point on, you know, every time somebody dies, I think about them moving on to the other side. You know what I mean? And then it's precious. You know, I have a lot of care and concern for, you know, especially the young people that's out here dying. You know, we was mentioning that there's a vigil coming up Friday for a young person. And, just has the whole life, you know, ahead of him. And it's taken away because he chose to live the lifestyle that's glorified by music and stuff like that. Stephanie, how do you go about teaching parents about death and things like this?
Well, I mean, I think more specifically, I think you have to follow the lead of your child. You know, I certainly am an advocate for not hiding things from our children, but really just teaching it in a developmentally appropriate way. I think that's absolutely reasonable. But I think that really a good way for children to really appreciate life is they first have to appreciate their own before they can appreciate someone else's. And I think that when a child feels like they can't succeed or that they're constantly doing something wrong, or, you know, kids just want to please and do well, but they just don't know how and they don't know how to verbalize their feelings. And I think it's our job as parents and teachers and caregivers to really help them express themselves and really kind of give them more of a self and an inner discipline. And I think that would help in feeling as if, you know, their life was precious, so someone else's is just as precious as well.
Definitely. Definitely. And Sharon, I don't want you to feel left out. I want you to stay with us, okay?
Okay.
Unless you get super busy, in which case you run off the show and I wouldn't. but you have kids yourself, right?
Yes.
Me? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was talking about Sharon. I'm sorry.
Oh,
yes,
no,
I have three children, two adults and one minor one at home.
Okay, and how did you go about parenting them as far as discipline goes?
Well, it wasn't easy, but I tried to follow the example that was given to me from my mother. She raised two children, God bless her, and I could count on one hand the amount of whoopings that we got. It was very few. And I found out that I wasn't her. You really do have to have patience of steel to be able to pull that one off.
Yeah,
we respected her. So I tried to raise my own children with that value so I won't hurt my arm beating somebody all the time, because she just didn't do that. We felt worse her, displeasing her. We wish she had a whooped us instead of being sad. I tried to follow that, raising my own, and I didn't work much, and I tried to listen as much as I could. And when we got to them hard years, those teenage years, it just kind of got wild on me, and I hate to use the phrase the sign of the times with the rap music and more violence and the profanity and vulgarity of TV. Even the local channels, even during family hours, it just, I felt myself losing control. I felt myself losing control, and I always was pretty much good with the fathers on the outside, but I felt myself giving them more power. You know, I had to relinquish that female, I'm the mama thing, and just kind of let them be the man in those boys' lives, because it just got really hard to rule with the way I was ruling it with the outside forces against me, it seemed like. So Mad Dads and the church and family, all of that became part of raising those boys up. Even my daughter, who's 13 now, I incorporate everything, Girl Scouts. I utilize the public help, you know, the schools, the colleges. It's all been helpful. Yeah, so it's not just me. I found out that it's easier if I give in a little bit to those people who do want to help, who are positive.
Yep. Right, definitely. One thing that you said as far as the fathers and things like that is super essential, because, you know, actually this past actually, yesterday we had a board meeting, not board meeting, a staff meeting here at the Mad Dads. And Gil, you wasn't there. You was handling some business. By the way, I have you on mute, sir, because I don't know what that background noise is. I won't be able to hear you, but I'm sure you can hear me. But I'll click the speaker pretty soon, sir. yesterday we had a staff meeting, and we talked about what was right in our lives, what was wrong in our lives, what is missing, and what is confused in our life. The part where we was talking about what's missing, I mentioned that as far as in my life right now, and I have that now, but what was missing in my life was a strong male figure. I agree with, you know, why I understand why a lot of kids struggle in life without a father, you know, and I mean a strong male figure, you know, which can be anyone, even if they're not the father. But I struggled kind of in my life, not too hard because my mom was very strong, but I learned how to be a man more so from my mom and my grandmother and everyone else other than my stepfather who was there for me but wasn't necessarily the strongest male figure or the male figure that I needed to, you know, have in my life, you know. So it was one of those things where I love him to death. You know, I definitely wouldn't trade him for the world, but he still wasn't that type of strong and you know, strong male figure that I needed. Especially being that, you know, he's not my biological father and that I never really had contact with my biological father. And I've seen how it affected me in my life, and I can see how some kids, especially if they don't have a strong mother at least, to kind of co-balance that whole thing, you know, I can see how they can go around the wrong path. So definitely any man out there who's listening, you know, if you can be a mentor, if you can just be someone's, you know, a kid out there who needs your help, be there for them, you know, which is the whole purpose why I continue to do the youth group that we have here at Mad Dad's called the Get Real Youth Project. I mentioned that earlier. And with the Get Real Youth Project, or GRIP as it's pronounced, what we do is I teach leadership, and we make sure that I empower the kids there, and I let them know that anything that you want to do, you can do that. Not only you can do that, but you can do that now. Anything that you want to do, you can do it now. You know, if you want to be, you know, a doctor, age is not going to stop you. Only time, you know, you have all the time. If you wanted to go to college now, that means you have to get outstanding grades, you know, right now. You know, nothing is going to stop you. So I empower the youth, and I also try to be a great, you know, influence on, especially the ones that don't have fathers in their lives, you know. So definitely, you know, a mother cannot do it by herself, you know. If they can have a strong, and I do mean strong, and I'm talking about, you know, a strong character that's not involved with anything that will be unsavory. And we all know what that means. You know what I mean? You know, anything that's just going against what a father should be or should be doing, should have, you know, that's not a strong male figure. And I just, you know, I always had a dad. And he loved me to death. I love him. But he was not a strong male figure. And it might hurt him to hear that. But, I mean, that's just the truth. And truth be told, to be perfectly honest with you, as a result of that, now my youngest brother is struggling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So definitely we need some real fathers out there, you know, because Sharon, may I ask, are you a single mother?
I am. Uh-huh. But I am dating a strong black man, and I'll say that to say that even dating a strong black man and being a single mother to my teenage daughter has its impact.
Uh-huh.
It does. It has a positive impact, and I made a choice of who to date to have this impression on her. You know, coming up as a black woman, a woman, she'll be a woman soon, and she needs to see what a loving relationship can be like, and how to be spoken to, or even how to speak to a man. I think that this generation coming up is really missing out on a lot of social skills that leads to violence. Such as, I think I heard the other day, some young man drove down the block shooting up a block. It was unbelievable.
Definitely.
you know. So
definitely.
I think that what we show our children, you mentioned your stepfather not being a strong black man back then, and we could be selfish adults. We have to let go of a part of ourselves to show these kids a better way.
Amen. Amen, definitely. Stephanie,
yes.
do most of your clients, not most. Are some of your clients those who don't have fathers for their kids?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, parents come in all combinations. And so, you know, I was listening to Sharon, and she said a couple of things where I just think she needs some recognition in that. Two things, that she's really setting an example for her daughter, and
mm-hmm.
I think it's so amazing to hear her say that she wants to set an example of how to be a woman in a relationship and
that's right.
how to, it's amazing, and I just don't think that people often think that they are their children's first teacher and that the way they interact with their husband or their significant other or their partner really impacts the way that our children will have relationships in the future with everybody. It's just so important. And then mm-hmm. just wanted to quickly say, Sharon, you must have had a very strong mother because you definitely have taken
definitely.
The strong points mm-hmm. of her and incorporated them into your life. And she must have had a really good balance. And while I know you talked about the small handful of whoopings that you got, you know, she must have had a good balance between really nurturing you and making you feel successful and being consistent with her discipline. I mean, I don't advocate for those. However, she must have had a good balance. And it shows because you
Thank
can
you,
tell
Stephanie.
When you listen to you about your, you know, the way that you view things. And, you know, nobody is perfect. And we do end up falling into this trap of doing it how our parents did it because we just don't know any better. And some things are good, some things don't work so good, and it's kind of a trial
right.
and error.
Right,
and
definitely.
We really need to stick together. I mean, parents, it's hard.
Definitely.
Not easy. You got to kind of stick together. And you said, too, Sharon, that you kind of using the community to get your support, and that's wonderful. I love to hear that.
Thank
definitely.
You.
And you know, the great thing about it is, you know that you have mad dads for the help, too, as well as Stephanie.
Oh, yeah.
it's good to, you know, it's good to know that we can help you. Now. And even though I'm not a parent yet, I know that there's morals and values that I've grown up with that I know for a fact if I apply it to my children when I have, I know that they're going to be pretty good kids, even if they are hard-headed. I know this disciplinary techniques. I know what worked for me and what didn't. I know how I am, so I know if my child would be anything like me, I know what I would have to do. So, you know, I mean, because, you know, the whoopings I had, you know, again, it's that good balance that you mentioned, Stephanie, that is definitely needed because there are parents who, you know, with discipline that child, and then, you know, that's it. You know, it's just
yeah.
the discipline, and then they hope it blows over. Well, in fact, if you have to go to the extremes, and it is an extreme, you know,
yeah.
to be a parent, to have to whip the, you know, kids.
Yep.
Because I know
yep.
it's hard,
mm-hmm.
because it was hard, for,
mm-hmm.
it was hard for my mom, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we have to go to that direction, we have to be, the nourishing part would have to kick in almost immediately, you know
yep.
what I mean? Because one thing that I've noticed with two different sides of, you know, the whipping discipline is sometimes if it's applied and it's not, you know, if isolation occurs afterwards, that's when that negative thoughts and things like that start kicking in and it gets really bad and it takes an effect on the child. One
that
thing
is
my
such
mom
a good
did.
Point.
Yeah, yeah, and one thing my mom did was after Allen, you know, called me a bad one, and I mean, she gave him out. You know, after I called a bad one, you know, maybe it would be a few minutes, you know, to have me think about what I was doing, and I really would be thinking about what I've done to, you know, deserve that beat down that she gave me, and And after a while, she would come in and we'd have a talk. You know what I mean? And we'll talk about some things, and you know, then I gives me a hug, gives me a kiss, and you know, that's my mom. You know what I mean? And it'd be no hard feelings, honestly. Gil, have you experienced anything like that, or what was your experiences as a child, and how did it affect you?
You okay,
hear me?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Alex, now, what did you say? Please repeat it. I'm having a problem with my phone.
Oh, okay. I was saying, now, what was your experience when you got a whooping, and how did that turn out for you, and what was the result because of those whoopings?
Oh, well, I was like what Stephanie said. You know, so I was rebellious, you know. The more
uh-huh.
whoopings I got, the more my resolve was that, you know, I can take this, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to still live here and do what I want to do, you know. But I'd like to get back to Sharon.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to commend you for being, the atypical, modern, black, American, strong woman. Because you have taken, because you have taken something, you know what I'm saying, that is needed in our community, and that is black women empowering themselves, you know what I'm saying, through education, you know what I'm saying, and through networking, you know what I'm saying, and obtaining education, you know what I'm saying, information to be applied in their lives for their children. You know what I'm saying? Because my mother didn't have the opportunity to lay up, you know what I'm saying, and to further her education, you know what I'm saying, and utilize the whole network of information that's available.
Okay.
Definitely. You know what, Stephanie and Sharon, if you can be able to join us tonight at 5 o'clock here at the Urban Ventures, if you're available, that would be great. Would you two be available? Or Stephanie, will you be available?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, tonight I'm teaching a class about the Nurtured Heart Approach to Child Care Providers in Scott County. So I will be doing my own kind of parenting or caregiver workshop. So I will not be available, but, you know, I am available for questions at any other time.
Definitely. Sharon, how about you?
Yes, I routinely come on Tuesdays, and I totally enjoy the atmosphere, and it seems very freeing, a lot of confessions, and people seem to grow. I love networking there and listening to the information. So, yes, I do plan to be there today.
All right, definitely. And I probably know you, Sharon, and just can't put a face to it because I'm horrible with names and faces, to be honest with you. But definitely, I will see you later on tonight because we have to definitely, you know, show people, you know, especially the I know we don't do the parenting class, but just for those who come to our support meeting, just to kind of show if they are struggling, if they want to know what's next or what to do, you know, yeah, we just let them know what Sharon's been doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how's it been, you know, working and stuff like that. I want to get into this this quote here by Joyce Maynard. I have no clue who she is, but I was checking online about parent quotes, and I want to see what you all think about it. And she says, and I quote, "It's not only children who grow; parents do too. As much as we watch to see what our children do with their lives, they are watching us to see what we do with ours. I can't tell my children to reach for the sun. All I can do is reach for it myself." What do you think about that, Stephanie?
I think that's absolutely wonderful, and I think that that's true. And really, before you can make your children successful, you kind of need to commit to helping them do that and helping ourselves. Parents really need to grow before they can help their children do that.
Yeah, definitely. Because I can tell you now, you know, and I know my dad probably somewhere heated. he sometimes listens to the show, so hopefully he's busy right now. But he knows I love him, so he, you know, we never have any problems. But one thing that my dad has done when it comes to my youngest brother is he's been a horrible example. You know what I mean? And my brother is more so taken after him. And the effects of it is sometimes my dad would like to encourage my brother, you know, to do great things, you know, and it's kind of hard for him to see that coming from his mouth, because it's like, you know, who are you to tell me, you know, look at what you're doing, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's definitely one of those things, you know. Even sometimes he tries to encourage me, and I appreciate the words, but you know, it'd be things that I've already know not to be, you know, gloating or anything like that, but boasting about it. Sharon, I'll definitely see you later on. She had called off, but she probably had to go or anything. But it's definitely one of those things, you know, where it's like, who is you to tell me to reach for the stars and, you know, do it big, and you know, you're doing this, you know what I mean? So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as children, our actions speak so much more for them than do our words, because as you said, sometimes they're meaningless. And
yeah.
Watching them is way more effective, and that's, you know, what Sharon was talking about, you know, showing her daughter how to be in a relationship, and I mean, that's exactly what our job is as a parent. And but also, as a, you know, when you make a mistake, you do need to forgive yourself as well, because nobody's perfect, and you know, that's also a good model for our children. When we make a mistake, we make it right. We apologize. We are humble.
Right.
And that's a huge lesson.
Right, definitely. Caller, this is Mad Dads Radio. Who is this?
Actually, this is Sharon again on a different phone.
Oh, okay.
But I wanted to hear that quote again. You said one thing in that quote that kind of struck me.
It says, it's not only children who grow, parents do too. Watch to see what our children do with their lives, they are watching us to see what we do with ours. I can't tell my children to reach for the sun. All I can do is reach for it myself.
Yep.
And that's by Joyce Maynard.
That's impressive. There's actually a commercial out now about obesity, which is huge in America, with First Lady Michelle Obama promoting obesity in children, and it focuses on the children saying, hey, but Mom, you think that ketchup is a dessert, and these children are a little obese. And it's true, we're not eating the right things, but we're pointing the finger at our children.
Mm-hmm.
So that quote, it just brought that to mind about, you know, we have to watch what we chastise them for, and say, don't do as I do as I say, while we smoke a cigarette and expect them to be a non-smoker.
Right.
Right.
So that's what that brought to mind for me.
And, you know, and that's one of them things I was going to say, you know, that's just like telling a child not to smoke with a cigar in your mouth, you know what I mean? like my dad smokes, you know. Again, it depends on who the child takes after when it comes to who's truly influencing them. Now, my mom doesn't smoke, but my dad does. Being that my mom influenced me the most, I don't smoke. You know what I mean? My mom doesn't get drunk, my dad does. Being that I married my mom the most, I don't get drunk. You know what I mean? But with my youngest brother, he admired his dad the most. Being that my dad smokes and drinks, guess what he's doing? You know what I mean? And so it's one of those things that, you know, we can't tell people, we can't tell kids, you know, not to do something if we're doing it ourselves, because we have to be transparent. And again, Stephanie mentioned that we have to be humble. You know, You know, if you want your child to quit being so angry all the time, shouting at them won't work necessarily all the time. You know what I mean? So we definitely have to put that into consideration. That's one of the things that we have to wake up from, because it's easy to get angry, it's easy to get upset, and it's easy to you know, start screaming, and then you wonder where your child's anger is coming from. You know, and it's coming from you. You know, sometimes kids can be a great reflection on who you are. You know what I mean? A lot of times you might hear parents say, you're just like your father, or you're just like your mother. You know, depending on the circumstances, it can be hurtful sometimes. You know, because sometimes a kid will like, well, I'm nothing like my father. You know, he's evil. But, you know, you kind of take that trait because the father kind of spread it on to him. You know, whenever the child mess up, instead of healing, there's hollering. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So definitely, I definitely would like to thank you to being on the show today, because, you know, Sharon, even though you wouldn't consider it to be like a parental expert, you are a parent, and I think that makes you an expert. Mm-hmm. So I thank you for calling, you know, letting us know, because I had another, you know, I had Jack Schroeder, I'm sure you know him. I had him call the show, but I'm pretty sure he got busy today. He was supposed to call, but he must have got wrapped up with some things.
Can I just say one thing to Stephanie?
Yeah.
I believe you probably have a very challenging job getting parents at that end stage of their wits on raising kids.
Yeah.
And big ups to you on that. And I believe in the shock value. I think they're shocking these teenagers, maybe taking them to a morgue or a real county jail, not the county, the real prison, may help. That's my...
Definitely.
Thank you.
Stephanie, thank you for doing the work that you do and opening eyes, helping open up eyes, you know, and, you know, doing the job that you do. I thank you for calling in on the show. So right now what we do here at the last couple of minutes is I usually pray out. If you would like to stick around for that, certainly welcome to. But I'm going to go ahead and start it off. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for having this show today. We pray that those who listen in on the show really got some inspiration, really, you know, got some eye-opening quotes, and just being able to acknowledge what might be wrong and what's going right in their parental relationship with their child or with their children. Lord, we thank you for everything that you have provided for us. We thank you for allowing us to become great parents in the future, Lord. Lord, lift up Stephanie, lift up Sharon and Gil, and those who listen in on this show today. And I pray that you keep them protected and keep them safe and keep them going stronger in their mission. In your name, in your son's name, I pray. Amen. Stephanie,
Amen.
How would someone get to reach you? If they wanted to get your information?
Well, there's a couple of different ways to reach me. You certainly can go to my website. It's laughingparent.com.
Mm-hmm.
And,
definitely.
Laughingparent.com. My phone number and my email address is there. They can contact me that way. And pretty simple.
Okay.
All right. I'm sorry, that's my cue right there, letting me know. So the laughingparent.com.
Yep.
Sharon, we will see you later on.
Thank you, and job well done.
God bless you. We are going to be at the Urban Ventures tonight at 5 o'clock. We are located 3041 4th Avenue, South Minneapolis. Again, that's right off 4th and Lake Street, 3041 4th Avenue, South Minneapolis. That thing is loud. But we thank you all for listening. I want to thank you all who's continuing tuning into the show and downloading our episodes. If you have any episode idea, if you would like to give us any ideas, actually, or if there's anything that you would like to talk about, make sure you hit up our website, which is www.minneapolismaddads.org. You will see all our information there, anything that you possibly want to know about Mad Dads, any programs that you need to have. You can definitely get it from the website, again, minneapolismaddads.org. Again, if you would like to talk about any specific topics, and if you would like to get a guest on the show, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, definitely give us a call. God bless you. Tune in next week, Tuesday, 1 o'clock. See you.